Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 155, episode 2 of The Daily Zeitgeist, yeah! A production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially, off the top, fuck the Koch brothers, fuck Fox News, fuck Rush Limbaugh, fuck Ben Shapiro, fuck Tucker Carlson, fuck J.K. Rowling, and fuck fondant.
Thank you.
Just give me regular icing.
Yes.
It's Tuesday, October 13th, 2020. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Switch Perfect 2. We're back, Switches, a.k.a. Switch McConnell, a.k.a. the Wicked Switch of the West, a.k.a. the Switches Back, a.k.a. Lifestyles of the Switch and Gamers, a.k.a. Resting Switch Face, a.k.a. Switch, bish. That is courtesy of Official Dickhead, and I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
It's Miles Gray, a.k.a. 17. It's good to be a Laker when you're winning 17. Shout out to my fucking L.A. Lakers for fucking taking home the motherfucking championship. The toxic Laker fandom is back in action. You saw what we did. We gave death threats to Danny Green's fiance for missing an open three. We don't play around here. We're spoiled as fuck, and we don't care who we harm. Actually, that's a really bum move on the fans. I'm not backing that up, but a taste of just how fucked up some of these fans are. I am not like that. I talk my shit in private to my friends and my close chat group.
Lakers fans are... I was pulling for the Lakers this whole time. Love Frank. Love
great.
LeBron.
Love Frank. I've loved more and more Frank more and more by the day. And I'm like,
gave a little shout out to Jim O'Brien in an interview last night. That was pretty cool to see.
But your name's Jack, so it's not the same.
Yeah, he got my name wrong, unfortunately.
Rather than my dad, it could have been cool if he said me too.
For new listeners, my dad used to work with Frank. Frank used to pick me up from high school. when he was a manager at the University.
So I should thank you too. You
know yeah, I mean, you know, it's a multiverse, and who knows if I had been more of a dick when he picked me up from school or less of a dick. I was kind of a dick. I was like, Frank, don't talk to me.
Shut up. You work for my dad, asshole. Now let's go to Carl's Jr.
But yeah, yeah. But
what were you going to say about the fans, how awful we are?
Yo, I'm getting like texts from people being like, they still shouldn't have lost those two games. Like the Heat were mediocre at best.
Those takes are just such trash and come from people who, like, I can't even imagine how unhappy you are in your life when you're still walking around, walk out of the bubble with the chip, and you're like, honest, I mean, should have wrapped it up in those Mamba jerseys.
Yeah.
Should have happened then. But you know what? In that way, it was the most Mamba shit, because that was the smack in the face they needed to just go out there in game six and be like, okay, we're fucking just... It's just smash time now.
I mean, when LeBron's locked in, like, that's the thing. Somebody was making the point that, like, so the finals had the best player in the Heat was Jimmy Butler, and he had this game five that was just incredible, next level, locked in, and him and LeBron were going back and forth, and it was one of the best finals games ever. But game six, Jimmy Butler was gassed. He was just like, yo, I can't, like, what am I supposed to do? I can barely move. And LeBron was just same level. He was just at the exact same level. Like, that is a metaphor for his whole career. It's just like he's able to stay at this level year after year after year. I don't think it's a debate between LeBron and MJ. It's just they're different. They're just like,
it's new.
One
eras.
Has longevity. One, yeah, totally. Yeah. But man, that was fun. And shout out to the NBA for zero posies, the whole bubble. Meanwhile, the NFL, Major League Baseball, what a mess. Hey, Miles.
Yeah.
We are lucky and thrilled to be joined in our third seat by one of the funniest dudes out here doing it. He is the hilarious, the talented Mr. Nick Turner.
I can't be a faker. Congrats to your team, the Los Angeles Lakers. Here's some news that I love not. RIP to the season of Dak Prescott.
Oh, that was awful.
Oh, he's awful.
Left there dangling. Ugh.
That's my team. That's my guy. That's my fantasy.
Oh,
ride or die.
Fans?
I'm
you're
a Cowboy fan. I was born in Fort Worth, Texas. And That was really brutal. Sad day at my house.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, any just awful leg breaks like that, compound fractures, anything like that, it's just the worst thing to, like, witness as a fan, obviously, because it takes a second for it to register, and you're like, oh, no, 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 no. And then you feel doubly worse because the players already know. It's like, it's a wrap for me.
I don't watch him. I can't watch him. Alex Smith came back the same day. I never watched his horrible leg break. I never watched Paul George.
I still haven't seen Dak Prescott. But yeah, these are for non-sports fans. These are like some of the gruesome leg breaks.
But for Dak, I looked.
Eduardo Silva, obviously. Abu Diaby. Why does it always happen to Arsenal players in the Premier League, too? I just want to bring that up, too.
Yeah, I never forgave that movie, The Blind Side, for showing me the Theismann leg break. Like, just boom, right off the top. They're just like, hey. I guess like 20 years later, when the person has gone on to have an okay remainder of their life, it's not as bad. But yeah, Dak's tough. I don't know. He seems like he's the sort of dude who will come back. But
was he the player that Skip Bayless was like coming at for saying he was like depressed or something?
I don't think so.
You're thinking of Michael Phelps.
No.
I can't believe that.
An NFL player, whatever. I don't fuck with NFL, so it
could be.
I have nothing to offer this conversation aside from commiserations around an awful, awful injury.
Whenever I see those Michael Phelps commercials, I think, somebody get this guy some help. He still needs help. He's still suffering after all these years.
Yeah.
He's just not enough smoking weed. That's what he's more of.
Nick, we are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we are going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. We're going to talk about the reboot of Superman Returns that was planned for the White House. We're going to talk about the beginnings of the Supreme Court nomination hearings for Amy Coney Barrett. We're going to talk about what the New York Times nonfiction bestseller list looks like right now. We're going to talk about yet another thing that these danged millennials have killed, the coffee shop. And the right's new herd immunity plan, which is called the Great Barrington Declaration, because it's basically the naming version of the Tea Party dressing up like old-timey guys in white powder wigs. They're like, this will sound important and will appeal to 60-year-old white men, but it's actually a herd immunity plan that is supposed to counteract the Democrats and Joe Biden's plan for shutting down America, aka like the scientific consensus. And it's a mess. They really, for such a big idea, they really did not pay attention to nailing down the details, which seems to be a problem with this administration just in general and Fox News.
100%.
But first, Nick, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Okay. I did a deep dive on John Fetterman. John Fetterman, if you don't know, is a lieutenant governor of Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And his wife was
suffered
a racial verbal assault in the supermarket. She is Brazilian, so naturally somebody cornered her in the supermarket and yelled the N-word at her repeatedly. Cool. And followed her into the parking lot. And so then I looked up Fetterman, and I ask everyone with a phone right now to do so, because this man, he looks like
a bad guy from Mulan.
Yes, he definitely looks like he stole a correction officer's uniform and used it to escape prison.
It's wild. It's an aggressive. Yeah. Them as a couple, I'm like, hold on.
There's certain things where, like, he's got a really, really intense goatee.
Yeah.
And he's also got the same vibe of Jaws from James Bond.
Yeah,
right.
Like kind of lurching around, like very big. Yeah, look at that. Wow. Like that guy,
for sure.
If that person, assailant, had known what this woman's husband looked like, I'm assuming.
I think she did. I think if she knows what that guy's wife looks like,
right.
I think she probably knows. No, he went to Harvard. He didn't escape from prison.
No, he's like on paper, like a really chill guy. You're like worked with the big brothers and big sisters and like got obsessed with the idea of like your birth being a random lottery for your outcomes and things like that and how that affects his idea of fairness. But he looks scary as fuck.
Yeah, he just never changed his look.
That's dope.
You know, more power to
him. Why should he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to.
There's just something, even like when you look at his Wikipedia page, he's like looks just so underdressed for whatever official photo this is. Like, it's clearly his bureaucrat, like, yearbook photo where he goes to the Capitol and, like, this is like a lieutenant governor. And he's wearing, like, a rayon safari shirt.
Not happy to be there. I would say it's, like, one of Quicksilver's nicest button ups.
Right. Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. That's definitely a top level billabong. But his smirk definitely says that he wasn't smiling. And the photographer was like, come on, Lieutenant Governor, give us a little something more. And he just went, just I will raise the corners of my mouth flatly.
We're out of time. All right, thanks, John.
Oh, man, I did not bother to look. Yeah, because I read that headline, and usually in my morning, I'm like, okay, where's my daily dose of racism? And I'm like, okay, God, the fucking Lieutenant Governor's wife. But yeah, I did not connect. Thank you for doing that little bit of work to get us to see the whole picture.
Wow. Yeah, the closest he comes to smiling is looking a little bit pissed off. That's as far as he goes.
Just a little bit pissed off. Right. So that's nice.
Nick, what is something you think is underrated?
underrated is growing your own weed. I have been a weed smoker for a long time. I think we're all doing different things in quarantine. One thing I'm doing, I know, Jack, you're growing humans. I am growing weed.
Ozymandias style.
Yes. In the lab.
What are you doing? Like indoor, outdoor?
I'm doing indoor. I wanted to do outdoor, but I don't have outdoor. That's just mine. I live in a there's four units in this building, and one other unit smokes hella weed. So that's why I can't go outside, because I'm pretty sure they'll steal it.
Well, you do the thing. I saw the thing on Reddit where people were hanging tomatoes on their weed plants. So from afar, it just looked like you had a wild ass tomato plant.
That's awesome. So funny. Wait, like growing a tomato plant like right next to it?
Yeah, but so like, you know how like if you grew a tomato plant, you get like those wire frames you'd kind of put around it so it can grow upward? So like you put that around your bud plant and then just kind of like surreptitiously like hang tomatoes around it. So visually they're like not even looking forward because you're used to seeing that shape with red. I mean, like that's a tomato plant rather than being like, whoa, what are those?
Wow. Hold on,
get that loop out. I want to see the trichomes on this tomato.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's really smart. I don't think I can get away with it. But I don't know. I guess I just thought it was, I always thought it was more expensive. But I grew one plant and I didn't do that great, but I got two more after that. I got like a quarter of an ounce out of it, which for the amount of money I spent is not good.
Yeah. not a good yield on that one.
No, because I'm pretty sure I paid a quarter's worth for the plant as a teenager.
And
I had to buy all the stuff.
Back in the day, I was like...
No. I mean, that's weed parlance. Teenager, like a clone is like a very small one. And then if it's grown up a little more...
Got you.
Like 8 inches tall, they call it a teenager. So
I thought you said back when I was a teenager. I'm like, you've been holding this plant since your teens.
Yeah, no, my parents are cool, but not that cool.
It's an F1 mother plant, man. I got to keep this thing.
Usually the plants only take 3 months, but this one, apparently 25 years.
So you're back to buying, you think?
So, well, no, I mean, I'm doing a second round. I got two plants and they are growing crazy.
I'm so
happy about it. And I just got more light and I put it closer.
Yeah. The light was
What kind of grow lights are you using? Because I've found that my humans don't respond that well to grow lights when I put it in the closet that we keep them in.
Or in that heated centrifuge.
Yeah, you got to make sure to keep the lights 2 feet away from the plants.
Okay.
The humans, I guess.
If you're reading the
same articles.
All right.
But it's great. It can be done and it's not that expensive.
All right.
I fucking love it. Everyone should go grow their own weed.
Hell yeah.
I don't care about the laws in your state.
There you go. Let them know.
Yeah, it's not going to be me going to jail and meeting other John Fettermans.
Cut
the Daily Zeitgeist cannot endorse this message.
Cut to some fucking trial where Nick Turner's on the stand and they play this clip. This can't be real. This can't be a real law. Are we serious? I was on a comedic podcast being flippant.
Oh, I got taken down by podcasts like Chris D'Elia.
Oh God!
That wasn't his only problem. I would say
that was it. Yeah. That was it.
Taken down by podcast.
Yeah, if it weren't for podcasts, he'd still be president.
Yeah, that was the word that went around in the stand-up community. Guys, Jesus. You got to watch out for these podcasts. Apparently,
they record the shit you say and broadcast it. So if you're really out there with your predatory inclinations, don't go on a podcast.
Yeah, save it for Patreon.
Exactly. What is Nick? What is something you think is overrated?
Look, I gotta say, I love TDZ and the TDZ community. You know, I'm fucking Zeit Gang. Can you see that? Zeit Gang till I die.
Yeah.
However, I last time I was on this show, I got a little bit of some bad advice.
Uh-oh.
Quar was just getting started, and I was interested in ideas for games that you can play remotely with your friends.
Okay.
All right.
And I said I'd gotten Steam, and then your community reached out, and not one person. I would say maybe half a dozen people.
Wow.
They implored me to download Tabletop Simulator.
Got it.
And this is one of the biggest mistakes of my life.
Why? What happened?
I nearly lost friendships. other people to download this. Tabletop Simulator is not for normies.
Right.
Got it.
This is what I did not understand. You have to use basically every key on your keyboard when you're playing Tabletop Simulator. Right, and not only that, but you have to teach your friends how to do it remotely right after you've taught them how to download Steam, which is the single hardest thing I've ever gone through. these are well-meaning people. I mean, these listeners, they're great people. I had a question. They reached out, something that helped them. I understand. For me, not for me. Tabletop Simulator, no, because it's like when you play a game online, like Monopoly, let's say, you click something and then the dice automatically rolls and then your dog jumps, you know, six spaces or whatever.
right.
Then the cards pop up and you pick them. But on Tabletop Simulator, it doesn't do any of that stuff. You manually have to do all that stuff. And it's not just like doing it with the mouse. Like, it's just like individual, like the G button.
Right. It's option G, Nick.
Yes. Oh my God. I mean, I lost days of my life.
Wow.
And 40s of dollars. A little bit over.
So what did you end up landing on? Like, what? I know you were looking for something. Did you find something that did work out for everybody involved?
Ticket to Ride.
Mm.
The game. Yeah. Well, you know, we thought we were going to be playing on, you know, playing with our friends remotely forever. But it only really lasted a month. But Ticket to Ride, it's the greatest game, and you can play it with your friends. And I've also just started playing it alone. Mm-hmm. And I think in Quora, I've played it for 300 hours because Steam records those hours and tells you.
Oh,
and
shit.
It's embarrassing because I'm all my friends go on Steam. They're like, hey, what's up with you at Ticket to Ride? I'm like, I don't know. Oh, it's meditative.
They broadcast it? They tell others?
Yes. It's to your name. Yeah. How much time you spent doing
brutal.
It?
Brutal.
But it's the best $10 I ever spent.
Great. And what, you're just riding around a train?
No, it's like, you ever played Catan?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
But rail-based.
But rail-based, yeah.
Got okay, it. Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what's up.
That's an interesting approach to transparency. Like, if Twitter and like all apps just told people how much time you spent on them,
we would fix the problem.
Yeah. We would just oh fuck. we gotta do something about this.
I wanna know how much time each person spent writing each tweet.
That's right. You attach that shit now, it'll shut people up. Or like how long it took them to craft an Instagram post or story. It's like, this post, 15 minutes. And you're like, what the fuck for this? It's a shot of a muffin. Okay.
Yeah.
It ruined my trip to Thailand, but I got this muffin.
But the gaming hour thing, you know, it's like half, it depends on how you look at it, because sometimes it could be a flex or it could be a failure. It doesn't matter, because other people are like, I mean, don't fuck with Nick. He's putting in work. He's putting in 17 human years into this game.
I'm sure if I was like ranked nationally and I had some Ticket to Ride sponsorships, it would be like, look, he's putting in the work. But I don't have that. I just got deadlines piling up.
It also encourages you to give up if like you're mediocre after like 17 hours. Then you're like, I can't keep going and getting my ass kicked by these people who are beginners.
Do you think, what do you think would be more effective to keep people, like curb people's use on like Instagram or social media, right? Because so much is tied to your ego. So like in a way, this thing of just even adding a quantity of hours to how long you're on an app, is that going to, do you think that would affect somebody in the way they'd be like, I'm on here too much, or I don't like people knowing I'm on here this much, or I don't want people knowing it takes me so long to write a tweet that was just a milquetoast take?
Yeah, well, I think the problem is not your main account. It's your fake these burners. Right. Yeah, and that's where you spend your time arguing with, you know, people you went to high school with.
Yeah, that's, I think South Korea has a rule where you can't have fake accounts. Like, they, where your online identity is attached to your like social security.
Oh, everything's more fun that way. Although it doesn't stop much, like, you know, because the Nextdoor app, that requires you know, to get verified.
To have an address,
And then there's still racist is everything.
Yeah.
It's worse than Twitter somehow, and your fucking address.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, no, South Korea has, like, people bullying, pop stars into suicide. So, yeah. All right. Finally, what is a myth?
Thanks, Jack. Wow.
What's something people think is true you know to be false?
The air fryer. I had some friends couldn't say enough about an air fryer. And I couldn't figure it out.
People come on this show and talk about, almost have me, I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, wait, do you have one?
No, I don't, but I hear, this is a common theme I hear is the praising of the air fryer.
Yeah, so it sounds like bullshit, like CBD. I also read a study that said one third or two thirds of all CBD products do not include the CBD as advertised.
Oh, wow.
But CBD, bullshit. Air fryer, incredible. I can't explain it. I don't understand it.
Oh,
All I know is that I don't have a big enough one.
I thought you were going to take it in the other direction and be like, it's not as good as people. Wow.
Not
confirmed. We're getting verbal confirmation.
I went to a guy's football party. Thursday night football. Guys
Hell yeah,
night.
Bro.
I brought my air fryer with me.
Were you crushing
Drove it over
dogs?
In the car. Fuck no, dude. I was crushing Bud Light seltzers.
Hell yeah.
Everybody was. I got the strawberry ones. Everybody knows.
Everybody knows.
The limes, them's for you. no, man, it's everything to me. And I cooked five things in the air fryer yesterday. And it's funny, you know, it's like one of those things where you find something really healthy and then you eat five times as much.
Right. Because it's healthy. What was the most impressive thing? Because to me, the thing that holds me back is like, I want to submerge my food in boiling fat and cook it like that. And I just don't know if I will get the same vibe from it. So what was the thing that you thought, this air fryer can't fuck around and do this thing that is meant to be fried God's way?
Seafood.
Wow. Oh.
I fried up some incredible shrimp in there. Wow. And that was really, really eye-opening because I'm really trying to get Lyra to enjoy shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming along very slowly. She went from adamantly against it to liking it two ways. And I know she likes it fried, and so I tried to do it, and man, I fucking nailed it. It's so fucking good.
Are you batter dipping them in something before you put them in
the
air fryer?
Yeah, so sometimes I'll try a lot of different things. Like when I do wings, you know, it's mostly about the marinade when you're doing chicken, and I will marinate. And my secret weapon is coconut milk, coconut cream. You know, the fattier the better.
Wow.
Some ponzu. Okay. I like doing that. But then just putting it, and with the marinade, you don't need a binder like an egg bath or anything, because it's already wet. And then you can just put it in there. Mm. And I'll usually like to do just a tiny bit of flour.
Right.
If I'm not like really trying to get like the fried experience, just to dry it up. Fry better.
Crisp.
But then like with the shrimp, you know, I did the whole thing. I did marinade to the flour, to the egg bath, to the breadcrumbs.
Oh, it's and, full on traditional fry prep.
Full on traditional there. And then no oil. None. I didn't even put the coconut in. There's
understand.
No fat in it. You don't add any fat.
It's the fucking air, Jack. The way it's circulating. It's just.
And it's just so satisfying. You get the crisp. You get everything. You get all the flavor because you've marinated it. And so you've done all the work. And you're saving on any calories from oil. Not one.
Wow. Well, you heard it here first, and this episode is being brought to you by the air fryer company.
Oh, man, if I can make my own Filet-O-Fish, you know what I mean?
Wow.
It's just so fucking small, and I need to do so many batches. And I'm like, who's ready for six wings? Now just wait 25 more minutes, guys.
Is that how long it takes?
Bone-in chicken usually takes at least half an hour.
Unless like you get it, or do you put it in at room temp or you're taking like out the fridge straight into the fryer?
Fridge usually. Okay. Yeah.
Just checking, you know,
yeah.
Just trying to cross some T's and dot some I's on my end.
Yeah.
Make sure I hop in here correctly.
All right, guys, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and catch up with our prez.
Zeit gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, you know, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit Gang?
I know I do.
Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, and we're back. Let's just see. I mean, not a whole lot new with the president, which is kind of a nice relief to
news
say.
Is good news.
Just some revelations about like what was going on behind the scenes when he was, you know, feeling better after his stay at Walter Reed and trying to figure out, you know, how was he going to reemerge into the world? Was he going to, you know, stage a propaganda video that actually stole shots from Triumph of the Will, like he that ultimately happened. Did. Yeah, that did happen. That's what he, ultimately that is what he went with.
Big Riefenstahl fan.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's absolutely no chance that that was accidental, that wasn't. If it wasn't intentional, then it was because someone in his propaganda wing, probably Miller, like had that movie so committed to his brain that like he just knew exactly what shots to choose.
They have like arguments now over parallel Nazi thinking.
Yeah.
Like versus exactly. Like used to be just jokes on Twitter. It's like a parallel. I don't know. They're kind of obviously thinking the same thing there. And it's like you thought exactly to mimic this Nazi propaganda. Just really you did?
Okay.
But everything's just been chaotic, you know, like
it's been wild.
Doctor says he's immune, or no, a doctor says he's clear to do events because he, quote, poses no risk of transmission.
The only way that you know that you can trust a doctor is if he starts off with saying, look, I've never met the president.
Right.
From what I can see. And then I listen to that.
Right. When you start like he is strong. OK. Yeah. And he is doing great. We will not say when he tested negative last. That's irrelevant because I'm trying to trick this sick old man into believing he's healthier than he actually is. And who knows where this is going to lead. So to your thing, you were talking about, Jack, about like what was going on, that like how is he going to get out of Walter Reed? Because we saw him basically put his entire Secret Service detail at risk by getting in the Tupperware car and then breathing a ton. Yeah. So the New York Times has this fucking line in their article. I'm just gonna fucking read it. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Quote, in several phone calls last weekend, this is when the president was hospitalized, from the presidential suite at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center, Mr. Trump shared an idea he was considering. When he left the hospital, he wanted to appear frail at first when people saw him, according to people with knowledge of the conversations. But underneath his button-down dress shirt, he would wear a Superman t-shirt, which he would reveal as a symbol of strength when he ripped open the top layer. He ultimately did not go ahead with the stunt. Let's just end the show right now.
Like, for good. Like, that's... We can't...
It's wild. What can you do? Because we kept going from the phase where, like, we know this man is not well. We know his ideas are... He's sick. Like, it's sickening. Like the kinds of ideas this person has, to things where like, I'm not sure. Now we have to talk about senility. And now we're fully in that phase. Like if this was an old elderly person who you actually knew in your personal life and gave a fuck about, you would be worried as shit. Because you'd be like, I remember my aunt, she a little goofy, but now she's swiping at monsters in the night. And talking about doing Superman bits and shit like this, it's a whole other stage. And yeah, this is,
I don't mind this that much.
all right. I love this. I love this take.
I just think like, I like hearing that they know when to edit, you know, like a lot this isn't something he did. This is something that happened in a brainstorming meeting, you know, right after someone was like, all right, bad ideas. Just give me bad ideas.
No me. I'm gonna walk up real slow like I'm sick. And then I'm gonna rip my shirt off and I'm gonna be Superman and I'm gonna fly away and then I'm gonna cook CNN with my laser eyes.
Okay, now that's actually your best idea all week.
All right, who else? Someone else go. I'll listen, but right now I'm going to say Superman laser eyes CNN top idea.
I wonder, did those guys, his Secret Service, have to quarantine after that car ride?
Yeah.
To. That's not a no indication that they actually did, but the medical.
I would love to know what happened with those guys. I want to see a documentary about what happened with those guys right after they got out of the car.
Just tight on their faces as they're all driving, blue, being like, they're driving, fucker.
Because they're holding their breath. Like,
yeah.
One of the best things.
I got an idea for Trump to leave the hospital. Can he drive himself?
Yeah. Or how about this? He stays in that in the Beast SUV, and we'll just tow that motherfucker, and he can stay in there.
Right.
Yeah, that's the difference.
I'll walk on the outside. I'm just not going to be in the fucking car with him.
Get him a little golf cart. He knows how to drive that. Pope Mobile.
That's another probably a
Pope Mobile,
like,
would actually make more sense. Yeah.
And COVID idea, he would love that, because now he's on par with the Pope.
You know what we need in DC? Fuck these bike lanes. We need golf cart lanes. For the real people out here, like me.
Oh, man. Yeah. I feel like, I don't know. I feel like we're in a lull right now. People on Twitter who are critical of the president were, you know, energized by the poetry of his COVID diagnosis. And now that all evidence that he is allowing to escape says he's recovered, people are like, well, what do we do with that energy? I feel like I just don't want people to let it take us off the scent that, you know, when we were heading into the debate, the whole thing was he's willing to cheat. He's willing to like use the military if they'll listen to him to try and, you know, rat fuck this election. Like that needs to be front and center in people's minds. Like, just nonstop.
Yeah, I'm worried about the media because like they're starting to get real spiky with the football.
Yeah,
I mean, the way Biden is widening these poll numbers, it's really something to look at, and it does make sense. Like when I feel like just stop talking about that shit, and everything should be about fake ballot boxes that are popping up in California. Or these other just every other manner of voter suppression that's occurring, rather than getting like, oh, good, he's sick and he's like, oh, he's fucking it up now, right. Is not really, I feel like, the feeling I want to carry. I don't know. What's I guess part of me is like, we gotta fucking do this shit.
Are the fake ballot boxes real? Like, has that been reported?
Well, that's a tough question to ask. Are the fake boxes real?
Yeah. Is that a thing that is actually occurring? It was happening in
Fresno. Yeah, and then the California GOP was even like, well, it's not like we're not trying to say that it's official. It's now to the point where the Secretary of State has been like, this is illegal.
That's an art project.
Yeah, right. But again, this is how they've been, just another example of what they're willing to do just out in the open, which is, you know, possibly just like, we're just going to ballot harvest and we'll see what the fuck happens.
The one thing that's making me feel good is all the reporting that like the Atlanta Journal Constitution tweeted, we're seeing heavy turnout in early voting in Georgia, which I don't know why such menstrual description of that, but that's good. Early voting numbers that Fox News is reporting suggests that we're 10 times higher on early voting than we were at this point in 2016. That's the only thing that makes me feel any hint
it,
yeah, of
it would be
relief.
Spooky if you went in here and there weren't like, you know, turnout indicators that made it seem like, no, we're looking at something akin to a 2012,
right?
Like a 2016, yeah. I don't know. We'll see here.
It needs to be off the charts.
I've never felt comfortable doing anything other than voting on election day. Yeah. Even like with a mail-in ballot, I would just bring it down to the voting place and like hand it in because I'm not losing it. And so now, like, for the first time, I voted a month early, and it's an official ballot box. I checked. It was not an art project.
It wasn't a Rubbermaid container with duct
tape. I can't tell you how incredible it feels to have already done it and to know I'm being counted and to know I'm not part of the mess in the mail. I'm not part of the mess, like, voting. I'm not in a line making someone else, you know, not be able to vote that day. God, I feel like fucking Superman, and I just ripped.
Oh, I wish you did. God, this guy never misses with the bits. It does feel. I'm probably gonna vote this coming weekend, just because I want to get it done.
You mean like go to a polling place and like pull the lever?
Do the early vote?
Do an early vote in person?
I've actually never pulled a lever. I don't think. Do you guys pull?
Oh my god, have you voted?
I pulled a lever.
Wow.
I think they had like some old school. I remember pulling a lever for Obama.
Mine's always like filling a little dot in.
You just do the janky little ink pen through the plastic like play school voting set kit, it feels like.
Yeah. But although I never get to pull. They should just give you a lever to pull.
But the primary,
yeah, like at the casino.
Yeah,
the
and primary, then it like comes, paper? It rolls like a slot machine.
Oh,
it comes,
you voted for
and it comes
Trump
up, you
and
voted.
Kanye.
Uh-oh, yeah, presidential.
Can make we, it did you, dumb. To, make did it you, dumb for us.
You noticed that Kanye was on the ballot, but as a vice president?
Yeah. That's the only thing they could get him on there for. It's all
weird.
As a vice president, who's the president?
I forget. Like, that's the thing. They just wanted his name on the ballot.
Libertarian?
Yeah, it was just some. They just got him. It's
not libertarian. That's too legit.
No, they're too legit to quit.
Libertarian does in a recent poll seem to be pulling some pretty significant numbers, like 2%. Which
no, it isn't.
That's what a
I can't poll, be right. I'm gonna what's the phone number of the person who wrote that?
It is the poll. It is one of the only polls that gave Trump a chance in 2016.
Oh, yeah. So they're the only right ones.
Yeah, I mean, Biden 51.9, Trump 43.4, Jorgensen 2.4, and Hawkins 0.8.
Whenever people on social media are like, you know, fuck anyone who's voting third party, I just like, who is third party? Like, there's no, it's for the first time in a very long time, there is not a famous third party person. There's not someone that the media is talking about.
Kanye West?
Right.
Well, he's not a legitimate contender.
I know what
he's
you
not
mean,
on the
right.
ballot.
But right. have it enough of a following where they're like, yeah, this is our year to fuck it up.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem, though, is because our two-party system is so fucking gridlocked. Like, I understand the appeal of third parties if you actually have a real principled idea, like, based on whatever your beliefs are. But, I mean, eventually you'd hope we would fracture off into more than just Democrats and Republicans, because I honestly, it's proving to be the literal death of us.
One thing I wanted to read real quick, just that I happened to see, was the New York Times bestseller list of nonfiction books. And it's literally like a 50-50 split of like books that like liberals would read and that would infuriate people who watch Fox News, and then books that Fox News would read that would like give me an aneurysm if I tried to read it. It's like Rage by Bob Woodward, okay. Killing Crazy Horse by Bill O'Reilly. I'd love to hear what Bill O'Reilly has to say about indigenous people.
Wow.
Blackout by Candace Owens, Cast by Isabel Wilkerson, which is the book by the author of The Warmth of Other Suns, compares race to a caste system. Disloyal by Michael Cohen, Live Free or Die by Sean Hannity. I didn't know about this one. The Fox News host offers his assessment on what is at stake in the 2020 election. Don't Lie to Me and Stop Trying to Steal Our Freedom by Jeanine Pirro is the title. It's the title of a book. Notorious RBG, Untamed, which is, that's the only one that doesn't really fit into there. And then Sarah Huckabee Sanders's book. So it's just, I don't know. That's just a good reminder that we're not going to stop living in two completely separate realities after this election, no matter what happens. Like, people are just completely divided.
Mm-hmm. I was really hoping that there was some non-political books in there.
Yeah.
It's just like, the liberals get pissed off about 4-hour work week.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. It's all that. And I mean, I don't think that's normal, that there's not a single book that is like not that.
Was God Level Knowledge Darts by Desus and Mero on there?
It's like number 19, I think, or 18. Have you read it? I just found out about that. I'm pretty psyched.
I'm gonna read it when I'm able to. I have some time to sit, probably after the election.
Right.
You ever write a political
at that point?
You ever write a political tweet that gets too much engagement, and you're like, this does not deserve it. You know, it's just because you mentioned politics or you said him,
right,
you know, it's like right. There's an extra 300 likes. You're like, how does everything, you just say politics and you're immediately viral.
Yeah. There's like a whole like probably percentage of Twitter that is just blandly political takes that are tweeted and retweeted.
And they're crushing on those impressions. And you're
crushing.
Just like, y'all, it's funny because a lot of those tweets are the kinds that help people who are so frightened of the Trump administration feel like they're win, like Democrats are winning. Like, right. It's always like the ones that it's like, uh-oh, Trump's scaredy pants and not going to go to Docty today. And they're like, oh, fuck yeah, love it, I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk about how he sucks, we love that, or whatever.
It's like after game five, you're like, sorry, Lakers.
Right.
Not your year, boo. yeah, ultimately.
Oh, man. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about how millennials are letting us all down.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. Let's talk about some things that aren't the president, such as coffee shops.
Such as
Iraq. We love them. We miss them.
I love hanging out in a coffee shop.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just writing my screenplay and drinking my coffee with both hands wrapped around the cup. Like it's a
just with a giant chunky sweater.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yes, exactly. Just blowing on.
My favorite thing to do in a coffee shop, I bring my laptop in, I put it down, I order a coffee, I get a water, I sit down, I set everything up, and then I ask them what the Wi-Fi is, and they say, we don't have Wi-Fi. Like, it's normal to not have Wi-Fi.
Right. Wi-Fi?
Yeah. Well, I mean, this whole thing with coffee shops, right? I sort of wanted to talk about this because the long and short of it is that coffee shops are in decline, okay? They said by this is a company that sort of monitors like coffee shop openings, closings, and just sort of niche businesses like this. And they say by the end of 2020, there will only be 25,307 coffee shops in the U.S., making up for $24.7 billion worth of business. And they say but that's actually... it's like a dip of almost 8% and 12% less revenue than in 2019. I mean, I think that all makes sense given COVID. But a lot of people are like, I don't know what's going on, as if the times we're in right now might be a huge contributing factor to people who have businesses.
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
that's shockingly little. That's a shockingly small dent for me.
Well, like, the reason this is apparently big news is because this is the first time there's been a decline in coffee shop growth since like 2011.
Oh, so it's just been like straight uphill.
Yeah, and now
because this is like down a little bit.
Yeah, they're like, uh-oh. But I think what's so interesting to me is like I forgot actually, you know, we were just joking about like how like much the coffee shop took up our consciousness in the 90s, you know, as it being a thing. Like when you think about it, like I just according to an analysis of films I'm just making up right now, coffee shops are where 70% of 90s rom-com scenes occur. Yeah. So I'm just saying, and also like it was like one of those things like in 93 that like someone would live in like Essex Junction, Vermont, and they're like, yo, we got a coffee shop. And like, what? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get to it. I'll meet you. I've got practice over at St. Michael's, but I'll meet you over there in a second. But like the coffee shop was a marker, you know?
I wonder how many sitcoms would have taken place in a coffee shop if Friends hadn't existed.
Right?
Right.
They weren't allowed to.
I feel like every character though, like had a job at a coffee shop. You know what I mean? Like it was like the easiest thing, like in your first draft of a script, like their job at coffee shop with people who are annoying or, you know, you got so much out of it.
It's pretty easy to like fake a coffee shop, right? You can just like put it in a like that's why I watched way too many like bad comedy videos when I was running cracked like submissions where it's like, yeah, we're at a coffee shop, but it's definitely just somebody's floor level apartment.
You just put a jar of biscotti and like a couple loose coffee bags behind you and it's a coffee shop.
Coffee shop alert this week in Hubie Halloween.
Uh-oh, Hubie.
Yeah, one of the girls worked at a coffee shop.
When
the
oh, really?
In, and then the bullies come in and like
bully
the kid in front of the girl.
Yeah, that's right. Dude, Hubie's fucking touching all parts of our consciousness.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
That movie's going to end up being one of the most important movies of our lifetime.
Probably.
Wow.
I mean, Anna is getting it tatted. She said her whole personality is now Hubie-based. Sure. She said, call me Hubie Day.
Since yesterday's recording where Miles reviewed Hubie Halloween, said it was a great return to form for the Adam Sandler universe, Nick has started a cult around Hubie Halloween. Super producer Anna Hosnier has gotten it tatted and is announcing that she will be going as Hubie for Halloween, for her Halloween costume.
Well, I hope she rethinks the tattoo and gets a brand instead.
Yeah,
totally. That's true. Old Hubie.
A lot of devotees. I have to watch it.
Where my Hubites at? You know, holler at me one time. This other study was saying that the companies, though, that are obviously withstanding all of this are the ones you'd expect, which is like the Starbucks and Dunkin's of the world. They're fine. And we knew that because, you know, we know eventually those will be the only places to legally buy coffee in the Trump Incorporated Confederation of Consumer Territories.
Well, also they've closed stores that don't have drive-thrus, and then open stores with drive-thrus, and then focus that more on that business. They've been able to like kind of transition.
Yeah,
better than you know, just your random neighborhood store that can't add a drive-thru.
Right. Ugh.
So after all this is over, like what? Because there is something like there is a reason that WeWork existed, right? And there's a reason that people used to go to coffee shops to do work instead of working out of their homes. Like there's an energy or like something that people get from being around other people that like this probably isn't going to like totally kill off, like just because we've had a pandemic, like people will go back to wanting to be around other people. Do you think this is a permanent thing, or do you think this will,
I don't know. I think we've got way too much momentum as a species of being around each other for a year of fucking hell to like completely rewire our needs as like animals. Cause I know I fucking fantasize. I saw a video of, it was just like a random clip of like some rave that had like it was said like the most lasers at a concert ever. And it started off minimal, but when that shit went off and you saw like 40,000 people just screaming, I was like, I miss that shit so much.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I just need that. And there's no amount of like, no matter, obviously we all have different existential fears around this year and the election and whatever, but deep down, I think we're seeing it. That's why people keep fucking not living by the rules, because deep down we just need that shit. And some people, I think, are able to like calculate what the risks involved are and like what the knock-on effects could be for someone other than themselves. But yeah, I think we'll be
plus
all right.
Us liberals are all going to cuddle parties where we all just sit around,
yeah, and, right, and cry about our dads.
But I mean, that is a real thing. Cuddle parties are a real thing that existed before the pandemic, and you know, they've done
not a lot of articles being like the millennials have killed the cuddle party.
Right.
That's right.
Because we invented that shit.
There's a reason NBA players touch each other before and after every free throw. The touch, yeah. The human touch, being around other people, it's important. And I think this is the reason that sports viewing is so far down, like almost shockingly so, after, like, you know, we had these viewing events where like Tiger King or The Last Dance happened and literally like the whole world just like stopped to watch those documentaries. And then like when real sports actually come back, not that many people watch it. I feel like there's got to be something about just missing the presence of other people, or the presence of that many people in one space is like a larger part of the sports viewing experience than we were giving it credit for.
Yeah. I think maybe it depends on like how you're used to watching a sport, you know, because like the NBA was easy for me to watch because from when you're younger, you're used to watching quiet basketball games where there's maybe 30 people in the gym and it's right. Just like intense, but you're like, yeah, we're watching a basketball game. But I feel like when certain things like the NFL, I feel like my friends who watch the NFL, that's the one thing I've heard them complain about the most. Like, it's just so weird. It's like a fucking scrimmage.
Yeah.
There's no crowd. And like the feeling around it was different than like, you know, watching soccer in Europe. There were no crowds there. They pumped in fake noise, but I actually found myself switching to the audio track that kept it silent because I kind of was cool to hear them talk on the field a little bit with more detail. But yeah. I think it all depends on how you're used to watching it, or it's that feeling where you're like, it ain't right. It's not how it's supposed to be. Like, I should be there with my boys, and this is bullshit. This is not the NFL. This is some fucking plandemic shit.
Right. Have you watched any college football?
Nah.
College football feels weird.
College football has the most people. Like, they'll have, right. They'll have, you know, half full stadiums. Yeah. And on TV, especially because we've been watching sports one way for 3 months, it's like, it feels like there's no empty seats in the thing.
Right,
you're
right.
Like, it just looks like I have to keep checking college football. It's like, am I watching a rerun?
Right.
They have been airing reruns. And
there was a Texas Tech game over the weekend that made me think Texas had cured COVID, maybe, because it was just completely full. It was like, it looked like a sellout.
Yeah. And I don't know, sports are like, I really experienced this even with the NBA finals, like being a Angelino, like all, like we would gather around the Lakers or the Dodgers or things like this. And it was the first time, because obviously we haven't won in 10 years, that like I was not able to get with like my family and friends and always do the thing we do, which is like watch postseason Lakers basketball together. Like that was like a thing we'd always do from April going into the beginnings of summer. And to not have that, definitely. And I found myself like scrambling, being like, yo, y'all want to watch on Zoom? We could watch game 5 on Zoom, but everyone's like feed is delayed and like people like ruining it for each other. And I was like, this doesn't fucking work the same. So I know like there's like these deeper things tied to sports too, that I feel like my people might not be able to like quite articulate. And that's the reason why it's just not worth watching some.
People still are congregating around Dodger Stadium, though, in the way they always have. Just now, it's because that's where all the COVID tests are.
Right.
Go with your friends.
Yeah,
join
get
together
tested.
And
get some nachos. Hop in the car.
Yeah.
The celebration out in front of the Staples Center where everybody was chanting Kobe was pretty dope. I especially appreciated the guy who showed up in a human hamster ball. for the celebration. Did you see that, dude?
No, I didn't watch any of the celebrations.
He's in like, the bubble.
Yeah, he's like literally in the bubble. Anyways,
that actually caused my weed delivery last night to be delayed.
Everything was delayed last night.
I got a text and they were like, you know, they said it was because of the protests. And I was like, what protests are happening?
Well, from Clipper fans?
Like,
their team is trash.
Protest.
Yeah.
Clipper fans were rivalries make both sides better. That rivalry makes nobody better.
Everybody, I wonder what was harder to watch, Dak for Cowboys fans or that series
for Clippers fans.
Yeah,
brutal.
I feel for them. I mean, you know,
I do too.
Hey, head up, Clippers fans. You'll get one.
The other story I just want to talk about real quick, and the other thing that's making me feel okay about the upcoming election is just the repeated incompetence of like every right wing concerted effort to like try and flip the narrative
and shift reality on us.
Yeah. So there's this thing called the Great Barrington Declaration that is an idea, if properly executed, that I feel like could actually, you know, do some damage. But basically the idea is they put together a panel of experts, in quotes, to argue that like the Democratic form of like shutdowns and social distancing was like a plot by like Joe Biden and the Democrats, and like Trump's skepticism around those scientific points of view were correct and like worth paying more attention to. And it was all just this whole COVID-19 thing was a figment of the liberal media's imagination. And it, like, if they could have gotten some momentum behind this, I could have seen it, like, I don't know, being one lifeline to like a concerted worldview that a lot of people on the right would have liked to believe in. But so they released this thing. They called it the Great Barrington Declaration, which is impressive sounding.
I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, like, they did a good job with the title.
I would be like, yo, what was that? Like, if a maskless Karen came into like my business and was like, I'm sorry, but according to the Great Barrington Declaration, I will not be wearing a mask. And I'd be like, oh, fuck. Okay, facts.
All right.
I'm not going to argue with that.
And the Wall Street Journal headline, the Wall Street Journal op-ed page, which is a, you know, right-wing shill, they had a headline, "Why won't the media listen to these scientists?" And Fox News claimed the declaration obviously casts severe doubt on the heavy-handed lockdown approach Joe Biden and the Democrats have been advocating. So that is like an excellent, straightforward use of this story to sow doubt. However, some of the medical experts that they chose weren't epidemiologists, but actually homeopaths, like massage therapists, hypnotherapists, experts in Mongolian komi singing. Some of them seem to be fake names. One of them literally signed the name Dr. Person fake name.
No. Wait, really? That's a signee is Dr. Person fake name?
Yeah,
that's
there's also kid, Dr. Though. Johnny Bananas, yeah. Dr. Very Dodgy From Doctor, Professor No
That actually was him, yeah.
Yeah.
Professor Nota fucking Clue. And last but not least, Dr. Johnny Fart Pants. So they just opened this up to anybody who wanted to sign up.
This and is how
people just trolled it.
They're not listening to Dr. Farty Pants.
Right.
Yeah. Why won't the media listen to Professor Not a Fucking Clue?
He said it was not a fucking clue.
No, I mean no taff or King Clue. There. See, this is xenophobic.
Right. there's a one of the listed experts was a resident of the University of Your Mum.
That doesn't sound American.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think this was all like a British thing.
Okay.
Because to Dr. Very Dodgy Doctor, dodgy is such an English term, but I like it. I mean, it's an international effort. I like it.
And as Fox News and the right knows, Americans are suckers for British accent. We'll just grant them any amount of
even if it's Dr. Miss Dr. Very Dodgy Doctor.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Well, in that case.
But this was always, like, the three authors launched the declaration at an event hosted by a libertarian think tank and immediately followed by a trip to the White House. They have, throughout the pandemic, been repeatedly downplaying the deadliness of the virus, and people are basically saying what they're calling for is impossible without an effective and widely used vaccine. It would let the virus run rampant and kill millions. And the entire premise of the declaration offers no information on who they consider vulnerable and how they would actually be protected, which the idea is, like, we just protect the vulnerable.
Okay, just like that?
Yep. Yeah,
just like that.
Just let the virus rip. And, you know, well, what can it do? What's the worst it can do? Our president's wearing a Superman outfit under his shirt. So,
oh my God. You know he's wearing that shit right now. He's like, here's the thing, Dr. Conley, I'm going to tell you something, but I need you to
get this. He's like reaching for his top button, and and Ivanka's off to the side being like, like, shake her head.
Just agree with
him.
Don't
do it, Dan.
I'm going to show you, Dr. Conley, and this may be jarring to you, but my powers are enhanced by Earth's yellow sun. I do come from Krypton.
I do like to think that he already had it. Already had the outfit when he suggested it. Like, he had it in his hands and he's like, well, I don't know, I just thinking of this now. It's dumb. Yeah, it was dumb. I wouldn't buy it.
Wait, Mr. President, what are you holding there? What's in that Ziploc bag?
It's just a New York Times. Sorry.
Oh no.
It's like the
your cape is still
of
on, Mr. President.
Professor who like always the equivalent of that producer who kept pitching the mechanical spider in like different movies
until it came out in the Wild Wild West.
Yeah. He's just like, I've just got this spider model.
What do you think? So I'm going to come out, Robert Mueller's report, nonsense. I'm going to come out, the Mueller report, slam it down, show him I'm Superman. No? Okay, fine. What about this at my impeachment over the Ukraine call? I'll come out, there's the impeachment did not work. I come out, unbutton, Superman. No.
Again, Mr. President, that's not going to impress anybody. Yeah, over the
and
age
honestly,
of
that's a swastika. It's not.
Oh, it would. It would. It would have, you know, exploded his side. They would have loved it. The next night, he would have been up on the roof of the White House in a Batman costume. He just started going,
staring off to the side with a Trump.
I mean, throwing up the Trump signal in the air.
Like, he might as well go full, like, just into his instincts for, like, WWE presidential, like, campaign, like, ideas. Because,
yeah, it's such a double-edged sword, because in one way, I could see it. It's so stupid, but it works because it's so stupid.
Right.
And then the other version, it's just like, everyone's like, oh, my God, dude.
Yeah.
He peed his pants to say he's like, oh, I'm so scared of Kamala Harris. I'm going to pee my pants. I'm meaning to do this, everyone. Calm down.
He should do weeks. He should do like different weeks, like themed weeks.
Yeah.
Like this week, the cabinet's all WWE wrestlers.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just something for ratings.
He comes out Ultimate Warrior makeup.
Yeah. You know, like Jimmy Fallon's like BTS week. You know, it's no different.
Except we're running a fucking country in the ground.
You can have BTS shit week. There's enough of them to throw in there.
Fuck it. I know it's saying infrastructure week, but I've got Blackpink week. Come on out, ladies.
Nick, it has been a pleasure having you as always. Where can people find you and follow you?
Well, I think you know that there's a rather culturally important podcast called Deckheads that is very important to the iHeartRadio business these days.
Oh, yeah. People are calling it the most important podcast of all time.
The Superman t-shirts of podcasts.
Yes, only in that accent. And Jose and I have, we went into, you know, a lot of people have been learning languages, learning how to cook, growing children or weed. But I've mostly thrown myself into becoming an expert. And literally I have. I have become an expert on the television show Below Deck. I didn't know anything about it at the start of this year, but now I say I would go toe-to-toe with anybody for Below Deck trivia.
Oh, shit.
So we have been releasing one a day, an episode. We've been rewatching Below Deck from the very beginning, and we've watched a couple hundred episodes. And we've released one a day, and the new season comes out November Anna, where is Anna? Text Anna, text me. Text
in November.
What the date is. November. November 2nd. So November 2nd, the new season starts, and we will go weekly for the first time. And to prepare for that, we have to burn extra episodes because we've gotten so far ahead. So now we're releasing two every day this month. And then our first guest on November, I guess it'll probably come out 3rd or 4th.
Election day.
Miles Gray.
Oh, boy. It's so funny because I'm like, yeah, I watch Below Deck among every other trash reality show. Yeah. So when you're like, are you caught up? I'm like, yeah, I'm caught all the way fucking up. Yeah. Also, Malia's a fucking narc. You know what I mean?
We can talk about that later. Oh, my God.
Not Malia Obama, the bosun. Oh, my gosh.
I'm just excited. Yeah, the bosun this year is Eddie. He's coming back from the first season.
Oh, yeah.
And he's,
Jack, you ever been yachting? You've been sailing?
Oh, yeah. Constantly. Yeah. I'm actually one of the... people who comes through on one of these episodes.
Oh my God. I would fucking kill to see something.
One of the
like
parties that gets in trouble for leaving cocaine around.
Yeah, reality TV guest Jack O'Brien, what that looks like. Man. Like whatever your trade
literally
is.
Like, the worst nightmare of any reality TV producer.
You're like, he's not doing anything. Like he's not complaining about
internal
this stuff.
Like,
like he's allergic to that.
He's call with his kids for a
Yeah,
just miss the kids a lot.
He's like, oh, you want to see something cool? Look at this. That's the sale. Yeah. He doesn't drink. He's really polite. We're getting fucking nothing out of him. Here, all right, just plant some cocaine on him and we'll go from there.
Nick, is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
There's this how it started, how it's going.
Yeah.
Constructions,
Yeah, so I saw my favorite one and how it started. This is Scott Rogowski, the former Quizmaster Emeritus from HQ. He tweeted how it started, and it's a clip from the Marx Brothers. I don't know. One of their, I don't even know. Animal crackers, let's say how it started. Anyway, it's this great scene, really funny. That's okay. And then the second tweet, how it's going, and he posted one of these videos where a guy asks a girl out and she says no, and then he gets in his fancy car and she's like, oh wait, I will go out with you. Wait, come back. I didn't realize you had a big car. Have you not seen these?
No.
This is a whole type of comedy.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Where it's like these gold dig, like exposing gold diggers.
It's the most trash prank style thing, but yeah.
Yeah. So this guy, he goes up to the girl in this video, and he's like, oh, hey, I'm going to a party. Do you want to like come with me? She's like, what? He just like walks up to her at a gas station.
Right.
Yeah. She's not in a car. He's not in a car.
Yeah. So you're a creep off the street.
They're just both standing. It's like the worst setup. And he's like, you want to go to a party with me? And she's like, no.
Right.
He's like, oh, okay. And then he pulls out his phone. He's like, yo, Drake, I'm heading to your spot right now. We're going to rip it up tonight. And she's like, oh, wait, Drake. Oh, actually, I do want to go to a party.
Wow.
And she's like, I mean, how do you know he was talking about that Drake? Now you're just at some weirdo named Drake's house?
Right.
Anyway, I just like that. That's where comedy is, man. It's just fucking, it's a different world.
Miles, where can people find you? And what's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Miles of Gray, where I will occasionally appear. And a tweet that I like, you know, it's a blending of everything I like. So our boy Dogface 420 is at it, and you know what? He knows what time it is. He's down with the Lake Show. He knows it's 1-7. You know it's the 17th championship. He's got a new video, longboarding in his Laker jersey, sipping a bottle of champagne to We Are the Champions. And I'm sorry to Clippers fans, but I'm what a combination of vibrations. So I'm loving this clip.
Is that a deep fake or is that a real video? I think that might be a deep fake.
It's a deep fake?
Why spend someone spending time? Doesn't it sound like something he would do?
I don't know.
Oh, I watched it. It seemed real to me.
It looks real. Why you got to throw water on that? Even if it's a deep fake, I
don't
like it visually.
Why anyone would make a deep fake of that?
But it's from at Follow Through LA that has that one. So you know what? Shout out to
which
them.
I think
shout
is CJ
Toledano.
Yeah,
Toledano. Is that his account?
Yeah, that's his there new account.
Well, then there it goes. And if he's lying to me, then shame on him.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a good deep fake. It's one of the better deep fakes if it is a deep fake. Otherwise,
it's great. Not. There's an LA Times article about it saying it's, yeah, it's real.
It's real? Okay. Yeah. Shout out to him.
Why are you trying to do that, man? Like, come on, bro. Just let me have that.
All right, my bad. I still don't believe in it. So.
Oh my god, this is like
I'm
our
a
new
truther.
Yeah, you're a fucking dog face truther. No, he's a Sixers fan.
I think he's like would not be into the Lakers, to be honest. I think he's gonna be more into the Clippers.
For him to be like that wholesome and not a shitty person, there's no way he's a Laker fan.
I think maybe like Clipper Twitter got to me. They're like, this is a deep fake, and I believed it or something. I don't know where that came from, but I was just like, okay. So dumb. All right. Tweet I've been enjoying. Ms. Grace Cullen-Schmidt tweeted, took an edible tonight and thought of a TV show idea. And it's just a screen cap from her notes app, and it just says, Emily in Paris. So dumb. And Andrea Moore tweeted, LAPD's tear gas is purple and gold tonight. With hard eyes emojis. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we riding out on today?
Just some beats. Just some, you know, some danceable, head noddable beats from Star Slinger. I've done a couple Star Slinger tracks in the past, but this one's called Hottest Day in New York. I think it's a newer track, but it's got, you know, some like a little nice rap sample in it and like a very relaxed but intense beat behind it. So, you know, whether or not you want to feel like it's the coolest day or the hottest day, it's all up to the listener. So check out this one. It's Hottest Day in New York by Star Slinger.
Relaxed intensity. I like that. All right. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this episode. We will be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye. Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.